Today's scripture is found on Luke chapter 6, verses 1 to 5. One Sabbath, while Jesus was going through the grain fields, his disciples plucked some heads of grain, rubbed them in their hands, and ate them. But some of the Pharisees say, "Why are you doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" Jesus answered, "Have you not read what David did when he and his companion were hungry? He entered the house of God and took and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priest to eat, and gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath.'" This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Good morning. So we're going to continue a new sermon series on discipleship. And I think it's important to look at discipleship because if we say we are Christians, a large part of being a Christian is being a disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ who believes in Jesus Christ and his teachings, and he lives out the teachings and teaches others as well. Let us pray first. Gracious and loving God, I ask that you guide my words, that they reflect your truth, and that you hear our reflections that we hold in our hearts. For you are our Creator, our Redeemer, and our Sustainer. Amen. So most of us know what a disciple is. We know a disciple is a person who learns. A disciple is a person who accepts teachings from a teacher, a person who follows the doctrines of the teacher. We know a disciple also practices the teachings and lives out the teachings. And a disciple is a person who not only practices and lives out the teachings, but also passes on the teachings and teaches others as well. A disciple, we know, must also be very faithful, very dedicated, and very committed. We look at the path that the 12 disciples first took with Jesus when he called them and said, "Put down your nets and let me make you fishers of men." The disciples were faithful. The disciples were committed. The disciples were dedicated. They gave up family and life and income and job and all that they had and followed Jesus. And so we're going to be talking about the disciples and seeing how their faith shaped them and how we can learn from them to be better disciples ourselves. But first, I thought I'd start off with a fun quiz. So hopefully if you have a worship bulletin, you could write on the back of it or share with a neighbor or loved one next to you. And the first one should hopefully be easy, but it actually stumps a lot more people than you think. Can you name all 12 disciples? Yeah, we'll see. I know. It's okay if you can't. It takes me a while, too, sometimes. So we'll give you, let's say, a minute, a little under 5 seconds to name a disciple. You can help your neighbor too. I hear some whisperings. Okay, and it's okay if you didn't get all 12. It's sometimes hard to come up with. So the 12 disciples are Simon Peter and Andrew, James and his brother John, Philip, Thomas, Matthew, James, another James, Thaddeus, Simon, Judas, and Bartholomew. So, I thought it would be fun because next Sunday we are going to have the Children's Sabbath Sunday where we will have our children lead us in worship. But I found a fun 12 Disciples song where a young girl is singing the song. So we're going to watch the video. The first time through, it's just the young girl singing the song. And then the second time through, it's a chorus of children singing the song. So we're going to join during the chorus. And maybe we'll turn off the light so we can see the video better. And this is a fun way to just know the names of the disciples, a first step as we talk about discipleship. Maybe Eric can play the video.
There were 12 disciples Jesus called to help him: Simon, Peter, Andrew, James, his brother John,
right? Yeah. So when I found it during this week, I found myself having that song in my head the whole week. But it's a great way to remember the disciples, and it's important for us to know the name of the disciples as we study them this next few weeks and talk about discipleship. So we have Simon, Peter, and Andrew, James, his brother John, Philip, Thomas, Matthew, James, Thaddeus, Simon, Judas, and Bartholomew. We look at the 12 disciples and see the path and journey they took as disciples and what we can learn from them today. We see how dedicated and committed they were and know that they are part of a large group of people who dedicated and committed their lives to God. We know from our scriptures, from the Old Testament, so many people were dedicated and committed to God. We see Adam and Eve, who were committed to God. We see Moses, who was committed to God. We see David as a young shepherd boy who defeated Goliath because of his faith in God that made him strong, and later as he was king and served God's people. We know that Job did not give up faith even when he faced hardships, when he lost land, when death came to his livestock, when he lost family members as well. Job kept faith because he was dedicated and committed to God. We know the prophets we hear in the Old Testament, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, all the prophets remained dedicated and committed to God. Even when people didn't believe the visions and messages from God that they shared, even when people thought the prophets were crazy, even when people ignored the prophets and left them alone, they still remained committed and dedicated to God. So that's something that we can do easily first as disciples, to say, yes, we are dedicated and we are committed to God. But we must do more than just be dedicated and committed to God. We must live out this dedicated and committed life every single day. And in all the days of the week, one of the most important days that we look at is Sunday, the Sabbath day. And in this morning's passage from Luke chapter 6, verses 1 to 5, we know Jesus is walking through a cornfield on the Sabbath day. The Sabbath day in the biblical tradition was a very important day. It's something that began over 3,000 years ago. The Sabbath day was to be observed. It was the holy day where everyone was required to rest, to not do work. And solely the only purpose of that day, or the work they were to do, was to honor and to praise and worship God. So I want you to think yourselves about this Sabbath day and Sunday for us, what it means to you. And I ask you five short questions, yes or no questions mostly. The first question to think about is, do you make sure you have rest each Sunday? Do you make sure you have rest each Sunday? The Sabbath day is a day for rest. The second question is, do you intentionally focus on God each Sunday? The Sabbath day is a day meant to focus on God. The third question is, would you be happy instead of being in church on the Sabbath day Instead, would you be happy being active outside, or college or high school students? Would you be happy doing homework you know that is due on Monday instead? Or would you be happy going to work and catching up on work that you didn't complete during the week? Would you be happy doing those activities instead on Sunday, the Sabbath day? Another question is, when the Sabbath Sunday falls on a holiday, would you go to church or would you go on vacation instead? I know it is easy for parents to say, great, we've got this 3-day weekend or even sometimes 4-day weekend. Let's take our kids away and have family time. But that means you're not at church on Sunday. And the last question to think about is, do you think God would be pleased to know how you spend your Sundays? Do you think God would be pleased to know how you spend your Sundays, your Sabbath day of rest? These are questions I want us to think about to realize the importance of Sabbath, of Sunday, a day to praise God and a day to rest for ourselves. But we look at Jesus' actions and the actions of his disciples and see that it's not quite resting. It's not quite, worshiping God in an obvious way. Instead, they are being active. Instead, they are outside on this Sabbath day. And instead, they are doing work. We see in this morning's passage, Jesus and his disciples are going through a cornfield. And as they're going through the cornfield, the disciples are picking heads of grain. And they're rubbing them in their hands to get rid of some of the grains to get to the seed. And then they're eating the grain, the seeds that they have rubbed. And the Pharisees, they see this because the Pharisees have always been following Jesus and his disciples, looking for ways to criticize Jesus, looking for ways to condemn Jesus. And this is a great opportunity for the Pharisees because they see the disciples picking grain and eating grain. They are doing work on the Sabbath day, something that was not allowed for the Jewish people at that time. And the Pharisees say, why are you doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath day to do? When the Sabbath day began, it was a special day. We hear from Leviticus about the sets, the rules, the things they had to follow for that Sabbath day. The Sabbath day included not only rest, but a special ritual, things that needed to be followed. In Leviticus 24, verses 1 to 9, we hear the Lord speaking to Moses, and he's telling them how to prepare for the Sabbath day. Now, as I read this passage, think about what you do to prepare for Sunday mornings. And I also think about what I and Gaius and the other worship leaders do to prepare for our service. But in the set of instructions that the Lord is giving to Moses in Leviticus chapter 24, verses 1 to 9, he's telling Moses to command the people of Israel to bring pure oil of beaten olives for the lamp, so that the light may be kept burning regularly. Aaron shall set it outside the tents during the meeting of the Sabbath, and there shall be the covenant to burn from evening to morning before the Lord regularly. It shall be a statue throughout the generations. He shall set up the lamps on the lampstand, and the lampstand must be of pure gold, set before the Lord regularly. Now, I don't know about you, but we do light the candles, and it's wonderful to have the children light the candles, but we don't have a lampstand of pure gold. It's beautiful brass, but it's not pure gold. We don't make special oil. We go to the Christian supply store, and we buy the oil for our acolyte staffs, and we buy the oil for the candles that are there. I've never asked Mrs. Zhang, and to my knowledge, Dantai has never gone and crushed olives to make the pure oil for the lamps. We don't prepare the same way that Moses was told at the beginning when Sabbath began. Then they go on to say what the Sabbath bread must be like, the special, holy, consecrated bread in Leviticus chapter 24. It says, you shall take the choice, the best flour, and bake 12 loaves from it, 2/10 of an ephah in each loaf. It's a special spice or grain. You shall place the loaves in 2 rows, 6 in one row, on a table of pure gold. You shall put pure frankincense in each row of the 2 rows of 6, to be a token and offering of the bread, an offering fitting to the Lord. And every day it says in this passage that Aaron set before them that order. The 2 rows of bread, 6 in each row, a table of pure gold, frankincense, oil, and spices available for as well. It was a covenant that Aaron continued. And it says that they shall be for Aaron and his descendants. They shall eat from them in a holy place, for they are most holy portions for him, an offering by fire to the Lord, a perpetual due to the Lord. Can you imagine if our communion is such a thing, if we have communion with six loaves of bread and two rows of six each on a table of pure gold? That was the Sabbath that was commanded by God for the people to follow then. Our Sabbath today is much different. Our communion, our holy consecrated bread, we admit is much different. Even today it was fun as we celebrate not just communion, but world communion. As other churches and Christians around the world are celebrating communion, I decided to pick non-bread for our communion this Sunday. It is definitely not loaves made from the finest flour or loaves made with special spices, and not six loaves prepared in two rows. It is non-bread, but it's still Sabbath, and we're going to talk about how that is still Sabbath. Because an important thing to hear from this morning's passage, or from the passage from Leviticus, is it ends that this is an offering to the Lord, a perpetual due. For people of Jewish and biblical Hebrew times and Old Testament, the offerings they made was a perpetual due. Every time they worshiped, they needed to pay their dues to the Lord, to show the Lord how thankful they were for what they were able to offer. Lamps of gold, tables of gold, beautiful bread made with the most finest ingredients, oil that they crushed themselves. They were doing all this work to show what they can offer. They were offering their perpetual due. But here is an amazing and wonderful thing. Jesus is teaching us that the perpetual due that we pay to the Lord is made available for Him, through Him. He paid the due for us so that we, in turn, don't need to do all these special things. We only instead need to worship and follow Jesus Christ. He is our due, the sacrificial lamb placed on the altar for us. And if we follow Jesus Christ, then we are following the Sabbath and we are doing the work of Christ. So when Jesus answers the Pharisees who say, "How can you let your disciples pick the grain to do this work and eat?" Jesus answers them in this morning's passage from Luke. He says, "Have you not read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God and took and ate the bread of the presence." And it's presence, capital P, meaning this bread was holy. David took and ate the bread of the presence, which was not lawful to do, only the priests were able to eat it, and he gave it to his companions. Jesus is telling them of what David did to save the world at that time. When David was a young soldier in 1 Samuel 21, we know that David was given a special mission by the king. But the king told him, "You are to go on this special mission. You are to pick your companions, your soldiers who will go on this special mission with you. You are to fortify yourselves, but you are not able to tell people of what your mission is, this special secret mission." So David does go to the high priest to ask for a blessing, but he also asks for bread to take with him, because the priest and the temple was a place where bread was commonly stored for all the people that were to worship to eat the bread. But the priest says, "We don't have any more ordinary bread. I can't give you any bread for you and your companions who were to go on this special secret mission. The only bread I have is this consecrated holy bread." But David says to the priest, "I am going on a secret mission for the king. The king has sent me on this mission. We need this bread for sustenance for myself and my companions to eat." And the priest gave David and his companions this holy bread, and they ate, and they were fortified, and they were able to carry out the mission. Jesus knows he is on a special mission. Jesus was given the special secret mission by the Lord God to go out into the world and share about God's love. It was a special mission that he and his disciples were on. So he was saying, it is okay for us to eat of this grain, because we are fortifying ourselves to do God's work. He is reminding the Pharisees who are questioning him of David and the mission that he was on and how important that mission was, and saying that he himself, Jesus, is on an important mission as well. That is why he closes in this morning's passage when he says to them in verse 5, "The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. Jesus is that sacrificial lamb that pays our perpetual dues for us. So you don't have to worry about having a table of gold or laying out the perfect setting of 6 loaves of bread or having that crushed oil for the light in our lamps and having the light continuously burn. Jesus did all that for us through his sacrifice of his life on the cross. When God gave up his only son for us, he allowed us to be disciples of faith, not burdened down by all those rituals, but lifted up instead by believing in Jesus Christ so that we can have Sabbath. Not just on Sundays, but Sabbath on every day. You know, most of the times we have a to-do list on Sundays, many of us do. Maybe things we know we need to do during the week. We need to do our grocery shopping. We need to make sure the kids' clothes are clean. We need to make sure our cars have gas in it. We have a great to-do list. And on Sundays, sometimes we let that bog us down. But I wonder, instead of having a to-do list, can we have a God-do list? List of items of things we know that God would want us to do on Sundays to make Sabbath special then for God, to worship and praise him and come to worship together as you all have done, to be in fellowship and communion with each other as you all have done, to spend time with family and friends that we know is important on Sunday as you all hopefully have done or will do, and to, of course, take time to be in meditation, in prayer, in conversation with God. So instead of having a to-do list where you have to complete all these items and you're worried about them and they might take up a lot of your day or your mind or your thinking, but have a God-do list of time committed to spending with God, of time committed to being a better disciple through reading scripture passages, of time committed to being a better parent or friend or family member to spend time with family and friends. To know first and foremost, of course, though, that Jesus is the Son of Man and Lord of the Sabbath. So then when we say we worship and rest on the Sabbath, we say we are worshiping God and resting with Jesus. But it also means resting in a way that is different to do the work of Jesus. I know that sounds different, right, to rest, but how you rest is to do work. But you want to do work by improving yourself and becoming a better disciple to be able to follow Jesus Christ. So then when we take communion, as we will do in a few minutes, we remember Christ's body that was broken for us, his blood that was shed for us, and we join Christians all around this world on this wonderful World Communion Sunday to know that the Sabbath, yes, is a holy day, not meant for us to pay our perpetual due, but to recognize that Jesus paid the due for us. His death was for our sins. His love was for us to be able to share to all the world so that we can be disciples who are committed, disciples who are dedicated, and disciples who pass on the teachings of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Loving God, we say that we are your disciples. We know your teachings. We know your doctrines. We abide in them and we follow them. But Lord, sometimes we admit we sometimes struggle to pass on these teachings, to share these teachings. And we know one way that we can do that is by honoring the Sabbath, a day that you taught us for rest, but rest in a different way. A day that we rest and think of you, Lord, where we draw closer to you, Lord, where we do the work that you have called us to do. We ask, Lord, that you continue to give us strength so that we may fulfill the Sabbath, not just on Sundays, but every day. As we are called to be your disciples. In your son's name, amen. Okay. If I could have the cordless microphone, we'll go into our Holy Communion time. Christ the Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. And we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. He commissioned us to be his witnesses to the ends of the earth, and to make disciples of all nations, and today his family in all the world is joining at his holy table. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, the Lord Jesus took the bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." So, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offerings for us. As we proclaim together the mystery of faith, Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us. Might be the battery. Oh, okay. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ and one with each other and one in ministry to all the world. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen.
Coming, and let me be a servant right away. Let your will on earth be done. Healing for the ones you love. Come.
I communicate with all I Now it's time for us to respond to our message unto God today through our offering. So I can ask the ushers to come forward, please. Please rise for the doxology. Dear Lord, it is a privilege to be able to offer these gifts up to you today. We pray, Lord, that what we give today is joyful in our hearts, Lord, and that you will bless it, and it will be multiple of your work here in Chinatown. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. I'd like to ask you to turn your attention now to your bulletin. There's several announcements in the right-hand side. I won't repeat all of them. But I will bring up one. The charge conference date for the church is set now for November 19th, Saturday at 5 p.m. And just a reminder to those that are serving on the committees, if you have a report that's due, we need to get that into Yanni by October 30th. Is there any other announcements people need to make?
Also, just a reminder, next Sunday it will be a wonderful day to celebrate children for Children's Sabbath Sunday. The children will even, we think, if we can work out, lead us in the opening praise songs. They have some from the children's choir concert. We'll show the video and maybe have the kids sing along and maybe a VBS song or two. But that means we want you all to arrive on time, right? At 10 a.m. because we want to celebrate and thank the children for leading us in worship, okay? 10 a.m., and I'll send out an email reminder as well. Thanks, guys.
Any other announcements? If not, please rise for our closing hymn, number 361 in the hymnal.